This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's June the 22nd, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostert. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, congressional watchers seem to think it is likely the 2002 version of the Farm Bill will be extended, at least for the short term. And Europe this week, and I don't know how many times I've read this, but it's bordering on ridiculous. In Europe this week, the WTO negotiations broke down again. So what else is new? Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And then I'll tell you just a bit about the early arrival of the Western corn rootworm beetle to the fields of Illinois and the explosion of Japanese beetles infesting the southern part of the state. It all happens on this Friday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. July wheat down 13 and three quarters at $5.92 and a quarter. SEP at 6.05, down 17. And December futures 6.12 and a half were down 15 and a half. Kansas City wheat finished the lead option at $5.70 and three quarters. They were down 16 and three quarters for the day. July corn futures at 3.67 and a half, down 17 and a half cents. September's at 376 and three quarters were down 18, and December contract down 17 and a half in the corn pit. Your new crop corn, $3.81 and a half on the last trade for this Friday. July futures 797 in the bean pit were down 21 and a half cents. The August at 804 and a half, down 21 and a half as well. And November beans were at $8.30 and three quarters when the trade finished, down 21 cents. July bean meal futures off $8.80 at 217.40. July bean oil at 34.73, down 0.31 for the afternoon. Feeder cattle finished 30 cents higher at 108.40 over at the Mercantile Exchange in the August contract. June live cattle at 87.80, down 17 and a half cents, and the live cattle August contract down 27 and a half at 89.65 for the day. July lean hog $74.02 and a half cents, finished down 77 and a half for the day. The outside markets, crude oil trading at $69.15 a barrel, the lead option August up 50 cents. The CRB at 314.89, down 1.26, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average down just about 118 points at this hour. 13,428 was the last tick.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us on this Friday afternoon to take a look what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's work with just one simple number, and we'll call it 50 cents because that's what the July corn was off, July beans were off, November beans were off, or pretty close to that anyway. December corn down 43 and three quarters, that all for the week trade.
Yeah, and, you know, it was funny because I had a conversation with a client right before we went on the air, and his perspective was, why didn't I last week, you know, sell all my corn at 435 and all my beans at 895 when it got up there? And the answer is very simple. It's the fact that we were in a surging market in the wheat. Every time you had sold before, the market made new, you know, put new longs on and surged higher in the previous past, you know, 7-8 months. And also the weather was showing no relief from the drought. So last week at this time, we had a situation quite a bit different, and the market has dealt with that by taking Dees corn down 13% from its highs and beans 8% and wheat 4%. And I guess our opinion quickly would be that after last week's trade and this week's trade, corn's downside is limited in our view. We don't think the wheat high is in place, just on hold due to the harvest and due to this row crop liquidation. We suspect U.S. supplies that are going to be coming on in new crop will be met with very good and increasing world demand because the shortfall in other areas. So I think wheat's going to support that corn market. And the other thing we looked at, Todd, this week that we talked a little bit with Dave about was we heard a lot more this week that the trade was back on the mindset, or some traders were back on the mindset that a 150 national yield was going to be able to get hit now if this rain came through in a meaningful manner. And so we've got a group of people out there that are probably trading about a 91 or 92 million acreage number for corn planted acres going into next Friday's report, and putting a 150 yield on it. So they're back to a 12.6 billion bushel crop. And we would say we just don't think you can get both of these high acres and high yield at this point. So we're starting to feel like that the corn is getting down there. We would probably put undervalue for the next 30 days in Dease corn around 350, for Nove beans around 775, a little bit lower than the corn right now.
What happens if USDA comes out with a number? And I had a discussion with Daryl Good this morning that we'll hear later, well, we'll hear next week probably early on the air. And if you subscribe to our newsletter, you can hear it because I'll drop it in the newsletter. And I think it was actually, it was probably posted in his weekly outlook, too, about the numbers from the that USDA might come out with an acreage. And Daryl seems to think that there were, in total crop acreage, about 5 million extra acres that USDA had found, including the hay acres, when they released the acreage numbers and the planting intentions report in March. And that he suspected that some of those acres would disappear, and that it might be that some of those acres would disappear across both the corn and the soybeans. What's the probability, you think, that we'll have a lower number instead of a higher number next week?
Well, yeah, that's a real good point, because we did a special report for to add to the Dow Jones. They're going to have one out next week, and we went back and looked at the last 6 years. We think Dr. Good's mindset in practical terms is very good, but historically, it's really, really tough to get, because five out of the last 6 years, every year except 2001, from what we could find, the June acreage report was larger than the June monthly report. And so it's very hard to ask for a reduction in June acres at the end of the month versus what you got in the middle of the month. But our mindset to Dow Jones and our opinion to our clients is we will lose 1.2 or so million acres in the corn due to the extreme wetness in Iowa and Nebraska earlier in the year. You know, as of in the middle of May, Iowa and Nebraska were both behind about 25 points. And then you had the flooding in Kansas and Missouri. And again, in mid-May, Missouri was behind by about 35 points, and Kansas behind 30 as well. So between those two things, and also the drought in the southeastern and mid-Atlantic and Delta states, we're looking at the potential of, you know, 2.5, 2.4 million acres that they were looking to increase versus last year, that we think some of that's going to be back into beans or milo or even hay. It seemed like to us, especially in the hotter climates of the southeast and delta and southern tier areas, that they were going to go more towards a drought-tolerant crop once they lost their first one.
Hmm. So you have faith then that potentially corn can rally back based off of some of those that information and the idea that wheat will be supportive?
Yeah, we do, and I think that's where you boil it down to what's that mean to a producer, and that means the out-of-the-money calls and vertical calls that we've been using this year have probably lost their ability to prevent or to add back to those cash sales we made at earlier price levels, and very good price levels for corn, not so good for the first 30 or 40% for beans. But I think one of our mindsets is let's play this like 1993. When it comes to the market and the psychology of the market, we probably will not jump into the long side unless we hit our undervalue levels or the USDA jumps ahead of us, and let them be the guide to, you know, getting back into the re-ownership game and make sure those out-of-the-money calls are dealt with very soon, because if they don't, if they aren't, then you're probably going to lose quite a bit of premium on them.
Okay, so you mean dealt with, you're going to go ahead and liquidate them?
That's exactly right. I think if we come back, that we've already started to liquidate some this week, especially the last 2 days, and if we come back next week, the hot, high pressure is back over us, and the late week rains, if they're pulled and the market still can't adjust and retrace and go back up on that, then we feel like there's some other issues, you know, hitting the market right now, and that we're in a full-blown liquidation-type mindset. And so we'll pull the re-ownership and those out-of-the-money calls, but we will not make any additional recommendations for, you know, going above 50% in corn sales or going above 60 to 70% in bean sales. We just don't want to sell into a down market, because we do think down the road there's some numbers that are going to come out to allow us to get back in favor with the upside.
And so what you're really telling me, again, let me see if I can summarize this correctly, is that unless things change dramatically next week in either the acreage or the grain stocks report, which at least in the grain stocks report is unlikely but could be in the acreage report, or if we turn off really hot and dry, you don't think that there's a lot of downside risk in the marketplace, but that the upside potential has really limited until sometime after the harvest season.
Or going into harvest. And again, I'm stressing the out-of-the-money options, because the out-of-the-money options we bought are something like $9 bean calls and $5 corn calls. And so that's where you got to really take a look at it and say, okay, what's the ability of this market to re-energize for those to get in the money? Because if you don't believe they can get in the money, why have them? And I'd say you hit them right on the nose. I think the other third thing we're going to still watch is what you and I talked about last week, is this July corn and the delivery. Mm-hmm. July corn led this decline this week, and a lot of traders I talked to on the commercial side of the market said, I don't like this market anymore, and I'm getting out because July is not leading. So is this at a low enough price now in the July, and as we get into delivery here in the next week or so, that the commercials do still step in and buy against the Illinois River? That's still on the table, too.
And then historically, the other thing that's on the shelf out here is that historically, most years, the seasonal trend turns sharply lower once we get into July, mid-July to late July, early August, and that would be on the table at this point unless weather changes something.
Yeah, that, and you know, you got to realize too, with the amount of fund length that we have, both the spec funds and the index funds, they like to liquidate in the later part of the year as well, and that's where the bond yields, the U.S. interest rates and yields are very key right now, because those are really the driver to the dollar trend, and they're also the driver to this emerging market rally. And we've had this emerging market rally and a weak dollar here for several years, and that's really fueled our commodity move higher. So that's all playing into each other, and it's usually the third quarter that you really start to get on shaky ground to keep all those longs on board.
So opportunities pass, time to liquidate a few things, and then wait it out.
Yeah, but do not add to sales here.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks much, Mike.
Have a great weekend, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulo is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. Somebody from his office, usually Mike, joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Friday afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather with the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. His name, of course, is Steve Hilberger. Our own Mike Solo forecast for the two-state region tonight says mostly cloudy skies with a few showers and thunderstorms across the two states. Some storms may produce heavy rainfall, mainly in the western and central part of Illinois. Lows will range from 55 in eastern Indiana to 68 in the far southern part of Illinois. Tomorrow in northern Illinois, showers, a few thunderstorms. They'll end early. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, a few showers and thunderstorms as well. Some strong to severe storms are possible in central and southern sections. Highs tomorrow will range from near 80 in northern Indiana to 90 in southern Illinois. Storms will sink into the south sections on Sunday. Hot and dry weather will return early next week before the next storm system and a cold front arrives around midweek. Dave's here with the news.
In agricultural news, congressional watchers are suggesting that it's becoming increasingly likely that lawmakers will approve a short-term extension of the current farm bill. The Senate Agriculture Committee has yet to take up the measure, and the House is far behind its original schedule. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson put off markup of the bill till mid-July, with floor debate scheduled for the last week of July. But Congress is out for most of August into early September, and Senate Ag Committee Chairman Tom Harkin is looking for more money before debating policy.
I'm trying to get the whole $20 billion. That's my bargaining. That's where I'm starting from. Now, how much we get and how much we really can have that we can do all these things, I'm not going to say.
USDA Secretary Mike Johanns continues to be sharply critical of a House subcommittee vote that pushes forward the payment structure of the 2002 Farm Bill. In Johann's words, the bill paints a bullseye on farmers' backs and risks a portion of the $78 billion in U.S. ag exports. Peterson now says he will not offer a new proposal to limit farm subsidy payments unless Southern farm leaders beg him. Key world trade talks in Germany broke down this week, and major agricultural powers were left pointing fingers at one another for the failure. USDA Secretary Mike Johanns says the talks failed because of unyielding, rigid, inflexible negotiating positions of India and Brazil.
I felt we were making great progress. I felt like the rug was pulled out from underneath us. In many ways, I feel like Brazil and India came in with an attitude that they would move the goalposts, and it seemed like the flexibility, the desire to negotiate that was there on behalf of the United States and we believe on behalf of the European Union just wasn't there.
Brazil and India blamed the collapse on the U.S. for an unwillingness to cap trade-distorting farm subsidies at $15 billion a year. The U.S. offered $17 billion. Energy experts expect diesel fuel prices to trend higher into the fall. A Kansas State agriculture economist says in 8 of the past 10 years, the average price for diesel fuel was lower in June than in September and October. Last year's price collapse from June to September was hurricane-related. Speculators drove prices sharply higher on ideas of a bad hurricane season. But when hurricanes did not appear, prices sold off sharply. This year, no one is hyping supply problems, and stocks appear adequate. And a bipartisan group of lawmakers has introduced legislation to give U.S. agriculture the ability to continue selling goods to Cuba. The American Farm Bureau Federation says the legislation promotes ag sales to the island nation while removing burdensome restrictions that impede trade to the country. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all kinds of interesting things, including a link to this week's edition of Commodity Week, where our guests this week will be Craig Parr of the Andersons. Commodity Week airs tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. Central Time right here on the radio station, but you can always get it early Friday nights after 6 o'clock at willag.org. Well, up next, the Japanese beetle population has exploded in southern Illinois. I'll tell you that it's a sign of things to come yet this summer for the rest of the state and the Midwest. The extension entomologists at the University of Illinois have been amazed by the explosion of Japanese beetle emerging from the ground in southern Illinois. They had thought the weather this past winter was cold enough to hold off that barrage. They were wrong, says University of Illinois extension entomologist Kevin Steffi.
The numbers of Japanese beetles they're capturing in traps in southern Illinois are basically off the charts. There is a trap in deep southern Illinois, Massac County, that captured over 300,000 beetles in 1 week, just this past week, which is twice as many as the largest catch in 2006. So the numbers are just, they're ridiculous is the word that I've been using.
Ridiculous does not bode well for the rest of the state. Farmers and homeowners alike will need to be wary of the emerald green-colored beetle.
The Japanese beetle, first, is an insect that's going to feed on flowering plants. So when corn starts pollinating, it's attracted to corn. And once a few beetles get there, then the rest of them show up. And they will clip the silks and create some issues with pollination or potentially create a problem.
Well, the bad news for the corn farmers of the Midwest is that that same problem potentially exists for another insect pest, the western corn rootworm.
Like the Japanese beetles, they will interfere with pollination by clipping the silks. Now, they don't feed on nearly as many hosts. They're pretty much restricted to feeding on corn. But they are a major concern during pollination of corn.
The U of I entomologists say corn farmers should be scouting their fields now for both insects. They can check the Illinois IPM website for the economic damage thresholds. Those will give producers an idea when rescue treatments are needed in the field. The address is www.ipm.uiuc.edu/bulletin. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Hey, one quick note. I was out at 4-H Memorial Camp at Allerton Park in beautiful Monticello, Illinois. Yeah, there's more than corn in Illinois. That's just a play on words. And I was talking to Kurt Sinclair there, who runs the camp. He tells me that there are available spaces. If you have a child that's interested in making it out to 4-H camp, they don't need to be a 4-H'er. On the week of July the 4th, so the week of July the 4th, the 1st through the 5th, I think the camp is, you can call them or Google 4-H Memorial Camp and check out 4-H Memorial Camp over that week. You need to have that done by next Wednesday because Kurt will be ordering the food supplies for that week then. But if you've got a child that's interested in making that, give them a call. You can also call here at the radio station. I'll make sure that they have some information to direct you back out to Kurt Sinclair at 4-H Memorial Camp in Allerton Park, just outside of beautiful Monticello, Illinois. Joining us now to take a look on this Friday afternoon at the cash grain market is Bruce Bostard at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Hey, 4-H Memorial Camp sounds like a lot of fun to me. Did you go?
Mm-hmm. I didn't. I had a son who has, though.
Well, I was out. My twins actually will be there on that week. And it's always fun. It's just a lot of fun out at that camp and all the camps. Most of the states have camps. There are more than one here, actually, in the state of Illinois. But those who are interested can call and check out that one. Speaking of checking things out, you better tell us about this cash grain market, because I imagine things are not good today.
No, down hard today. It's been an interesting week. We had some active selling early in the week when we had kind of hit the highs last Friday and Monday, and those were good cash movement days. Even the first couple days of the downtick, we saw a little selling into it, chasing it down. Now it's quieted it off the last couple days. Basis, I think, has kind of reflected that cash movement. Corn basis into Decatur's down 4 cents over the last week. The CIF market's down 5. Beans have been quieter, and they're a steady basis level there.
And farmers shutting the bin doors now?
Shutting the bin doors now. We're starting to switch over to wheat. We got our first wheat load, new crop wheat, in yesterday, and it was pretty good quality. Yields in the low 50s, so there's been better wheat out there, but it's better than we thought it might have been a couple months ago.
And how's the wheat market holding up? It held up well in Chicago.
Has held up relatively decently in Chicago. We lost some ground on it today. Basis has been under pressure on wheat, sort of like last year, where we ran the board so far and so fast on pretty good spec buying. The cash market's been lagging. We can't keep up with actual cash demand versus the board demand on it.
And what are your bids for the day?
Into Paxton today, we're at 360 on June corn. New crop is 353. Beans, 761 for June. New crop dropped below $8 today at 792.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Farmers Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. He joins us here in the Closing Market Report each and every Friday afternoon in just about 2 minutes. I'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with Steve Hilberg. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Police are trying to determine if there's a link between a Chicago man's death and a crime spree in Douglas County yesterday that left a sheriff's deputy in critical condition and led to a bank standoff. Chicago police spokeswoman Monique Bond says one of the vehicles used by the suspects in the Douglas County incident may have been owned by a man found stabbed to death in a house on the south side of Chicago. She says the vehicle was traced to one of the victim's prior homes. Bond also says there were satanic messages found inside the home where the 40-year-old man's body was discovered last night. Bond says Chicago detectives are in Arcola now to investigate. Meanwhile, the two suspects may appear in court in Douglas County late this afternoon for a bond hearing. State police plan to brief reporters at a press conference at 5:30. Champaign's fire department has released the names of two people who were injured in an overnight house fire that also claimed two lives. 13-year-old Kaylin Taylor is in critical condition at Carle Foundation Hospital. A woman, Amy Keaton, was also taken to Carle. There was no condition report on her. The county coroner's office identifies the dead as 30-year-old Tom Keaton and his 5-year-old stepson, Robert Taylor. The fire happened at a house on Brett Drive around midnight. Meanwhile, firefighters say it was caused by improperly discarded smoking materials. Investigators also found two smoke alarms with unplugged batteries. They say the fire started in a futon on the back porch. A judge has set a July 16th trial date for a Bloomington minister who was charged with sedating and molesting four young boys during sleepovers at his home. James Love has pleaded not guilty to the charges filed last month after his alleged victims contacted authorities. Love's work with youth was cited when he received Bloomington's 2006 Martin Luther King Jr. Award, given annually to people who exemplify the ideals of the late civil rights leader. Love was also a substitute teacher for schools in Bloomington and Normal. Champaign County officials may start over with the county's zoning plan. A divided county board has voted to develop a brand new land resource management plan for the county's rural areas. Previous attempts to rewrite the 30-year-old county zoning code have met with opposition in the past. The 2.5-year project would be headed by an 18-member committee weighted in favor of rural residents. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on WILL. We're joined on this Friday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast by Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey right here in Urbana-Champaign. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Rainfall for the week. Tell me about it across Illinois and the Midwest, and then work into what we're going to expect for the weekend, please.
Okay. Well, it was, I don't know if it's a crop saver, but it certainly was a very welcome rain across a broad swath of the Midwest last night. Rainfall now for the last couple of days is basically totaled at least a half inch with almost 100% coverage northwest of Evansville, Indiana, to Carthage, Illinois, out in Hancock County line, and then from Dubuque down to about Kankakee. Northern Illinois didn't get quite as much, and southern Illinois, actually parts of southern Illinois, got nothing. But in between there, it was a lot of rain, and I would say even 50% coverage of an inch or more. And then out in western Illinois, we had one report from one of our Coco Ross observers of over 5 inches of rain in McDonough County, which has been verified, was sort of verified some of the radar estimates out there. So plenty of rain, and looks like more on the way, especially tonight and early tomorrow, as another one of these complexes of thunderstorms moves through. Looks like southern Illinois could pick some rain up out of this one, which would help because the dry conditions are still rather persistent down there. And maybe rainfall becoming a little bit more scattered in terms of showers and thunderstorms come Sunday into Monday.
And then here in Champaign-Urbana, what's the likelihood of rain over the weekend?
Well, pretty good later on this afternoon, probably through tomorrow morning. And then things probably will let up a little bit toward Sunday. We'll see. Won't be out of the woods as far as the chances for rain, but I think showers and thunderstorms will tend to be more widely scattered. And then as we get into next week, it looks like we set up a really good return of southerly air, which means not only hot to warm, but rather humid as well, but that will also provide a lot of fuel for thunderstorms. And with another strong cold front dropping out of Canada into the Great Lakes late next week, could be another good opportunity for widespread showers and thunderstorms right across the central part of the Midwest and even as far south as the Ohio Valley. So things are looking up.
As a climatologist, when will you say that we've been caught up and we're good to go?
Well, we're running pretty big deficits right now. May is normally our wettest month of the year, close to 5 inches here. For example, in central Illinois, we only got an inch and a half to two. So, but really, we define it more by the impacts and the actual raw numbers. And if we get some good rain here this next week, I think for agriculture, things will be in good shape, and we'll start bringing other areas back up as well. But we need coverage down in southern Illinois to really stop worrying about things.
Okay, we appreciate it much.
All right, Todd.
And that is Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center here at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. And that is also today's Closing Market Report. Remember to join us tomorrow. tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. for Commodity Week. That's Central Time. Our guest tomorrow will be Craig Parr of the Andersons. He's out of Maumee, Ohio. That's our weekly analysis of what's happening in agriculture. Commodity Week at 11:30 Central, right here on the radio station. If you can't wait, you can always pick it up off our website, the address, WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.